question I want to ask you today is simply this. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? When the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me this week about speaking this message, I was so pleased about it. And I began to, of course, refer to Scripture, because if you're going to preach the Word of God, you better refer to Scripture, you know. And to have something that people can hang on to that's going to last, and it's going to be a foundation for them to be restored and regain back that which may have been taken from them by the enemy. And I wanted to share with you that I have four distinct scriptures that I want to use today in a message entitled, Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord? And the scriptures that I'll be using today are Genesis chapter 18, verses 13 through 15, Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 4, Matthew 9, 23 through 25, and John chapter 11, verses 1 through 17. However, I will tell you that each one of these stories has an incident in it to where there was restoration brought, to where there was something that men could not do. Amen. And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know how long I'm going to preach. It may be 5 minutes, it may be 30 minutes, whatever it may be. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you that you may be at a place today where men can't do anything for you. Only God can. Yes. You may be at a place today to where you'll fit in one of these categories here, because each one is distinctly different from the other, but they reference each other. Let's start with Genesis in chapter 18, verses 13 through 15. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. You see, you have to get this picture. Abraham, Sarah have no children. And at this particular time, at their age, they weren't planning on having any more children. Let's just look at it this way. You don't see a 75 or 80-year-old man in a maybe a 65, 70-year-old woman talking about having family. You know, it's just something that's not in the family dinner conversation. You know, they're not at all planning on it. And if you want to see fear on a woman's face when she's 75 years old and she's pregnant, you want to see fear on a man's face is when she tells her husband, I'm pregnant. This wasn't the case here. This was something that in their mind, now hear me now, in their mind, this was impossible. And guess what? It was. The Bible declares that she was past the bearing stage and he was as good as dead. I'm not going to extend on that one. But literally, it wasn't happening, folks. His desires were not there and her desires were not there. It was simply they were enjoying their elder years together, and God gets in the picture. Now, I don't know where you're at today. I'm not here talking about a baby physically for you, but I'm talking about maybe God spoke something to you and you're sitting there thinking this can't happen. This can't happen. I'm not speaking to a certain age group here either. I'm not speaking to elderly people or young teenage people. I'm speaking to people that maybe God has put something in your spirit, in your mind, spoke something to you that where you laughed, where you simply said, this couldn't be. It would be great, but this isn't going to happen. I'm going to laugh about it. And maybe God impressed you it is, and maybe convicted you that you're laughing and not showing a disrespect, but a slight bit of a lack of faith towards what God just spoke. And you decided to say back, no, I didn't laugh. But let me just extend this out a little bit. Maybe you feel worn out today. Maybe you just feel at this point in your life, you just don't want anything happening. But God wants to do something with you. Maybe you feel broken. That it's just, there's just can't work anymore. Nothing's really working as you would want it to work. And the last thing you want to do is something now that you wish you could have done when you were 22 or 23, when you had the vigor, the spit, and the vitality to go ahead and be involved with this. Maybe you just feel so broken and so worn out that all you can think about right now is just getting out of bed in the morning, putting on a pair of comfortable slippers and getting to that cup of coffee and having a cup of coffee and then getting through the day. I mean, your biggest ministry is getting you through the day. And God comes into your life and speaks something to you through prayer. Or a prophetic word comes to you that you know that was from the Lord and you've had it confirmed and God gets in the picture, but you're worn out, you're broken, and you feel in your mind the where your life is now in your walk with God. It's impossible for that to happen with me. People may have made you feel that way. Maybe they have made you feel broken and old, and you're just an impossibility. You're a wreck waiting to happen. You need to be in the body shop getting told you're totaled. You need to be replaced. I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ in America, in churches of this size and larger and smaller, that are sitting in the pews. And I just described how they are. They don't wear a sign. They don't walk in the church and say, hello, I'm old. I'm broken. Everything that is going to be spoken today from the pulpit, from the preacher or the guest speaker, it's going to be impossible for my life. They're just here because they simply know the best place for them to be is in church. But they're not going to receive anything because they feel right now they are without hope. It's done. Abraham got called out of a beautiful country and had a great father, and he had a great wealth. God calls him out to go out so he can come back in. And maybe God has called you out of some place to where you were feeling pretty comfortable and you're on the going out stage. And maybe he has spoken to your life for you to do something, and he wants to take you back in when you're prepared. But you're worn out. You're broken. In your mind, everything is impossible because people have told you you'll never make it. And I don't want to say this in any bad way, but I want to tell you, get away from, separate yourself from negative speaking people. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? When I opened up that today in this message, it seemed everybody wanted to say, no, there isn't. I'm asking you individually, rhetorically, wholeheartedly, with all the anointing that God has given me today for this message, is anything too hard for the Lord? In other words, everything to you now is a passing thought. It could never be. It was just a great thought, but this could never happen to me.
God could never use me now. Maybe you feel inactive. There's a lot of people sitting in pews today that feel very inactive. Unplugged. No electrical flow. No get up and go. Let me tell you something. All that I've just said to you, I want you to remember one thing. The promise that God gave. No matter what you feel like, no matter how broken and worn out you feel, no matter how impossible it may seem, no matter how hopeless you may want to see yourself as, no matter how much of a passing thought you have designed yourself to be, and no matter how unplugged and active you may feel, oh, but the promise of God. That He's spoken to your life. That's all you need. You don't need negative input. If you went by feelings, this world would already spun off its axis. But when you move in faith and you trust in a living God, you know that you know the promise came from the heart of God, and whatever God promises, it will come to pass. Amen. Yes. Go ahead and praise Him, my Lord. Abraham and Sarah have a baby when they weren't supposed to. I love God because He brings you to that moments in your life where you weren't supposed to. And all of a sudden you're doing what you weren't supposed to. Because every bit of design of life stated you're not supposed to. But God sees beyond what people see. God looks down the road where people cannot see. And God chooses who He chooses to anoint who He anoints, to call out who He calls out. God knows what He's doing, church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You don't have to sit down today and feel broken, inactive, impossible, worn out. You're not a passing thought. You are a thought in God's mind. Praise God. And it may not be possible in your eyes. She laughed. This was the angel of the Lord that made this statement, who was really the Lord, making a statement to Abraham. And she laughed. I could imagine, she said, are you kidding me? I am past the bearing age. I don't want a child. It's going to hurt. I don't want to go through. What a comedy show. This guy's been out here in the desert today underneath the heat of this desert, refreshing in the tents and getting out of the arid heat for a moment. But she denied that she laughed. And I love his response before I move on to the second category. His response was so clear. No, but you did laugh. You see, I see in that scripture right there that when God does it, He'll look at you and say, no, but you did laugh. Now, who has the last laugh? Amen. God does what He does when He wants to do it because He created you and I. He has sought you and I out. He has called you and I to a place of where we want to be. You can look at this church and say, you know, it'll never be. It's just too old, too far down the road, and people with gray hair go there. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you got gray hair, dyed hair, somebody else's hair? It does not matter. What matters is this. Do you believe the promise of God? And I'm here to tell you, God is far from being through with this church, Hope for the Bay Church of God. He is far from being through with what He has promised to this church. Amen. He is far from being through. I had somebody tell me the other day, I'd go there, but everybody's too old. I thought, I'm glad you're not coming here. I don't want that negative energy around here. Praise God. You know what? I'm not old. I'm just beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. I may have gray hair. I may have a little bit of a slower step. I may have a shoulder that says, ouch, when I raise up my arm. But I'm going to tell you, I've got so much vision and so much hope and so much faith and so much anointing in my life that I know God's not through with me yet. Praise God. And I know that this church is God is not through with this church. And you know, somebody may say, I can't believe that people think anything's going to happen there. Do you remember I told you when I took this church, received this church after a year of praying and fasting, and even after the overseer got angry with me over the phone because I didn't include him in my praying and fasting and the talking to him about me coming to this church. And I told him this: I've never got an overseer angry in my life. I've never upset an overseer. I am a man that believes in spiritual authority, and if whatever the overseer would say, I will do. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've never said this to an overseer before. I've never spoken to an overseer before, but I'm going to let you know, if this is going to get you upset, and if you are angry with me, you can keep the church. I don't need to go there. You know what he did? He got all happy all of a sudden. He all of a sudden realized, wow, this guy may be sent there by God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. And I had another preacher say to me, do you know, I can't believe you're going there. That church has never done anything. Well, they're going to have a fun time explaining that remark to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Amen. Someone shout with me today. My goodness. Somebody change the sign out there to a Baptist funeral pyre, please. Someone shout amen. God's not through with this church. It's just beginning. Praise God. You know what I'm going to do when we get a lot more people in here of all the different age groups and colors and everything? I'm going to send a picture to the person that said, I don't want to go there because everybody's too old. I'm going to send a picture and say, and I'm going to have everybody hold up a sign. Wish you were here. Oh, I feel good today. Hallelujah. Amen. Secondly, we go over to a beautiful story found in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 37. Am I helping you today? Verses 1 through 4. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Someone say, if I'm going anywhere, I'm going in the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And set me down in the midst of a valley. If I'm going to ever be in a valley, I want the Spirit of the Lord with me. Amen. How many people I know that have gone into valleys and the Spirit of the Lord is there and they haven't even recognized the Spirit of the Lord? All they could recognize is the woes and the oh me's and how long do I have to stay here and what's going on? What did I do that caused me to end up there? Let me tell you something. Ezekiel was in the midst of a valley and it was full of bones, death, no breath, nothing moving, a graveyard, death. Just maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling that way about your own life. Nothing's happening.
Nothing's moving. My ministry is seemingly not growing. I'm not seeing anything affluent, or I'm not influencing anyone. I'm just there. I'm in a valley. I feel like a bone. There's no sound about me. I don't hear God's voice. I'm in a valley. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. See, what happens is all of a sudden you find yourself there, and you start seeing yourself, and then you start seeing everything else in your life, and it all looks like dry bones. You go somewhere to a meeting, no one greets you. Everybody else is asked out to lunch, except for you. You're just there. You just kind of feel dried out. Your prayer life is dried out. The words you're speaking don't seem to go any further than your lips. Maybe you whistle Pink Floyd's Comfortably Numb. I don't know. Hello, hello, is anybody in there? I see your lips moving, but I can't hear. Maybe you're just at that place where you're there and everything was very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" God asked if life can come back to the dryness, the sorrowfulness, the death, the lack of sinew, the lack of life, the lack of blood. And in the blood, there is life. Yes. Nothing there. And God asks you, can your ministry live? And don't be like those people that jump up and say, "Of course it can. Bless God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I read a book and it will work." No, this man had wisdom. If you want to find out wisdom, read the Word. This is the wisdom you need to answer God with. "Oh Lord, you know." I like what it says in the King James. "Oh Lord, thou knowest." God, you're the only one that will tell me if this church is going to grow. You're the only one, God. They're going to tell me if my youth ministry is going to flourish in an urban setting. I'm going to tell you, youth pastors, something. You got to be somebody special to be trusted by God to be put in an urban setting where you haven't been grown up in. Did you hear what I just said to you? What I just said to you in layman's terms is you're special. You know, if I went by countenances in this church, oh, I'm going to get myself in trouble, but you know, I'm going to get myself in trouble mood. God! Are these dry bones ever coming back? I can't believe he said that. I'll say it again. God, can these dry bones ever come back? That's a question back to him. But God says to him, this beautiful thing. He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." If you would just open your eyes,
open your heart. If you would speak the word to the youth, speak the word into their life, speak the word into the depths of their families, speak the word into your ministries, speak the word into your families, speak the word. The word brings life. You say, preacher, why do you preach? There it is. To bring life. Only you know, God. Only God knows. And I'm going to tell you what God says to me. Oh, yeah. There's life. Keep preaching the word. And the life is going to keep getting bigger and better and heartier and more wholesome and sanctified and holy and powerful. And the move of my spirit is coming upon them. Hallelujah. Dead without breath. That's how some folks feel about their ministry. Some folks feel about their church. Feel about their marriage. Feel about their personal ministry. Dead without breath. What am I even doing in the ministry? What am I even going to that church for? What am I even married to that person for? Dead without breath. There's no movement. None whatsoever. In your ministry, in your marriage, there's no movement. And where you're employed, there's no movement at all. As a matter of fact, some folks don't move at all. If you did move, you'd probably scare them. What I'm trying to say to you is don't be allow yourself to be dried out. When you get dried out, it's because you haven't been praying. When you pray, you're in the presence of a holy God. Will you allow me just to preach a few more minutes? In the presence of a holy God, when you're praying, amen. When you're speaking before God and you're spending time with Him, you can't dry out, you get wet with the Lord. You can't allow yourself to be listless, limp. I love that he had the wisdom to do one thing, and that is ask the Lord. If the Lord's not in it, the valley shouldn't be there. And I want you to know not only the first category, but the promise, the second category, but the word. Prophesy, and life will come. And to his surprise, those bones began to rattle. Sinew came upon the bones, and skin, flow of blood, and they began to get up. I don't know what it would have been like in a graveyard that day, but it might have been something where Uncle Bob sees his wife. Well, hey, you look a whole lot thinner than you did. But you're starting to gain a little bit more right now as we're talking. You're breathing. Well, you look pretty good too, Bob. Wait, well, you're changing now. Maybe you should go back to where you did look there for a moment because you look pretty good there. But I'm trying to say to you that life came back and they marched out. An army of people marched out of the valley of dry bones alive because the word of God went into their life. They didn't try to stop the word. They didn't try to time the word. They didn't try to wonder how loud the word was. They simply heard the word and the word changed their life. Amen. Yes.
Thirdly, Matthew 9, 23 through 25. Jesus is called into a situation. To go into a house where there was a sick child. And when he got there, because he was detained at times, because everybody wants to talk to Jesus. Come on now, can you witness this? Have you ever tried to get alone with Jesus and somebody detains you? Are you with me this morning? Because I'm here with you. He gets there and they have already got it set up. Everybody had already given up. Isn't that how it is sometimes? Folks just give up on you. You see it in their face. You see it when you talk to them. They're looking at you with a Kmart smile. A Walgreens stare. And an Ace Hardware chin. Out there looking good. Feeling proud. A smile that looks like it could be changed if you just went to the makeup mirror. And a set of eyes is just looking at like, what can I get off of you before you die? They gave up. Isn't that how it is? People give up on you. You may be sitting here today and everybody's given up on you. You've given up on yourself. And they'd already begun the morning session for you. Poor so-and-so. Their ministry once was affluent. I remember going to that church when there was 200 people there. Oh, the day. Oh, how I wish we could have that again as I sit here and wait on people to come to church. Oh, the morning. We need to have a funeral service. Because when I go into the church, it seems dead. Oh, my ministry just doesn't seem to go anywhere. When I'm singing up here, I just feel like no one's with me. Who cares? Who cares? Are you singing to the Lord? When I'm preaching the gospel, if no one's with me, who cares? I'm obeying God. Woe is me if I don't deliver the mail. Don't be mad at me. I'm just a mailman. I didn't write the letter. Oh, everybody turned. And all had begun the funeral arrangements already on your ministry. I can't wait till we get somebody new. Somebody that can really preach. A little quieter, a little shorter, and not so expressively rude at times like he's speaking right to me. I am. Somebody has to, because you ain't listening to anybody else. Thank God there's preachers left in this world. Do you know what's going on? Do you know people don't even want churches to take up offerings anymore? The new generation doesn't want the offering plate. You know why they don't want? Because they don't want to give. They want to take. They don't want to have, they got to have everything look in a certain way so everybody can come to church and say, oh, look how nice the church looks. I'll go there because it looks nice. My friend, I'll go anywhere if Jesus is there. Yes. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen and amen. Praise God in his holy name. I may take a run on the pews today. I'm feeling a little Pentecostal just hit me just a moment ago. But I'm just trying to tell you something right now. There is nobody giving up on you here. There is nobody mourning on you here. There is no funeral arrangements being set for your ministry here. And the ridiculers, they're already speaking out when Jesus came. And he said, I'm here. And they said, she is already dead. He said, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. The giver of life
is speaking to your spirit, your heart. You ain't dead. You've just been on a long nap. And those that ridicule want to ridicule and laugh at Jesus all at once. But I'll tell you something right now. I want to end this one here by stating something to you. But the healer came into the house. The healer's coming into your ministry. The healer's coming into your church. The healer's coming into your marriage. The healer's coming into your promise. The healer's coming into what God has spoken to you. The healer is coming in. And the healer is already saying, that's okay. It's been a nap. I'm going in and I'm going to say, daughter, wake up. Wake up! Oh, the healer. Oh, the promise. Oh, the word. People don't want the promise. They don't want the word. They don't want the healer. I want it my way. This ain't Burger King. This is Jesus' place, and he's the king. It's not have it your way. It's have it his way. The healer. May I go backwards? He walked out with her and the ridiculers went, oh, I knew that was going to happen the whole time. Those planning the funeral arrangements said, oh, these flowers were for somebody else. Those crying and playing the loud tambourines and the mourners were sitting there saying, we were practicing for tomorrow's death. Oh, we didn't give up. We were all here waiting for you because we knew you could do it. How many have been in church long enough to know that happens? Let me tell you something. The healer walked into the house. I believe the healer's walking into San Pablo. I believe the healer's walking into Hope for the Bay. I believe the healer's walking into your ministries. I believe the healer's walking into your promises. I believe the healer's walking into your bodies and healing them. I believe that the healer is walking into your life and saying to the devil, that's a nap. That's not death. Get up, my son. Get up, my daughter. Get up, my child. Let's move forward and take this world for the kingdom of God. Amen. And lastly, John 11. I'm not going to read all 17 verses to you, but I'm going to tell you the story. Jesus was about 20 miles away. He was camping, praying, investigating the area, ministering, and putting up with 12 disciples that drove him up a wall. Welcome to pastoring. Welcome to being a parent. Your friend Lazarus, Martha's brother and Mary's brother, is sick. We need to go. He's only sleeping. So he hung out for 2 more days. They said he's dead. He said, no, he's only sleeping. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you called on Jesus and he didn't show up when you thought he should be there. Maybe you've been praying for a long time for something to happen, but he just hasn't shown up, but you've been praying. Maybe you said, I prayed like Daniel prayed in Daniel 10, and I've been praying for 21 days, and I've been fasting, and there's still no angel coming and reading me something from glory. Maybe Jesus hasn't come when you wanted him to be there. But Jesus showed up that day. And when Martha and Mary heard he was there, Mary stayed in the back and Martha ran out. Jesus, if you would have been there,
my brother would not have died. Maybe when he walks into your ministry today, tomorrow, a week from now, a month from now, or now, you might want to say to him, if you would have only been here, if you would have been here, my ministry wouldn't have died. Things wouldn't be the way they were if you would have been here. All this death and everything. I've buried my ministry and I've buried my relationships. I've buried my anointing. I've buried my gifts. I've sealed them in a tomb. They've been there for a while. They probably stink. I couldn't even preach if I tried to preach now. I couldn't even extend the prophetic word if I tried to prophesy right now. I couldn't lead a song if I tried to at all. It's dead. It's in the tomb. It's sealed. It's just all wrapped up. It's in the death clothes, the death wrap, the death cloth. It's over. And if you would have just been here, Jesus, things wouldn't have gone the way they went. Well, he's not going to debate with you. The first thing he's going to say to you is this. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, though their ministry may die, though their dreams and hopes may die, though the giftings they had, they may think it's dead, and though the callings that they had may be in their mind dead, maybe the preaching or the teaching that they had is dead, maybe their Sunday school class is dead, maybe it's all dead, everything's dead everywhere, but I want you to know I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I speak life to you today. Live. Live, Emma. Live. Live, Willie. Live. 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 The resurrection and the life. Why is the enemy of our soul jumping all over these teens, trying to get them to do things that's wrong? Because he wants to keep them dead. Because God put gifts in them when you prayed, Mom and Dad. God put gifts in them when they were in the womb. They're little Jeremiahs and Dianas and they're Rebeccas. Praise God. They're Marys. They're little children of the Lord, full of power, full of might. But as long as the devil can keep them dead in their dreams of ministry, in their dreams of hope, as long as he can keep your children without having any future, the church, because the church is dead anyhow. And oh my God, I'm speaking to you today. Life! He's the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in him, you shall live and never die. Maybe today you feel like you're dead and in the tomb. You just come to church because it's all you know. Or you're afraid if you don't come to church, you're going to get a call. Or if you don't come to church, you're not going to get a paycheck. Or if you don't come to church, you're going to lose your position. That's what I feel like with the devil. Step on it. I felt like doing more, but I don't want to scare you. It's coming on. It come on me and I controlled it. Well, I don't care if you don't come to church at all. I'm not going to stop paying you until God says stop paying. I'm not going to stop praying for you till God tells me to stop praying for you. I'm not going to stop and remove your position till God tells me to stop and remove your position. It's not about your church attendance that I follow. It's the calling that I see in your life. It's the joy that I know that's stuck down there, ready to well up like living waters. Praise God. Oh, 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 oh.
I want to see life. Maybe you feel like you're in the tomb. Maybe you feel like you're just there. Maybe it's sealed. Maybe it's done. And I don't apologize for my actions. I tell you, I'm just trying to control running down the pews on you. And I've been 62 years old, soon to be 63. I don't know whether I can make it to the back 11. I'm not sure. But praise God. So I'm just kind of letting the anointing out like that. Some of you don't know Pentecost. I'm sorry, but praise God, that's how it is. The Baptist would have went. Same activity, just a different way of doing it. Jesus taking time to respond. I can't believe he would wait so long on important me. He should be there even before I pray. I can't believe Jesus let me have a stroke. I can't believe that my ministry hasn't been fulfilled since my stroke. I just can't believe it. Why did Jesus allow this to happen? Because you ain't dead. When no one talks, that means they're dead. But anyhow, because you ain't dead.
Amen.
Thank you. The disciples are all afraid because here comes Jesus. He's going to do something now. And if it don't work, they're really in trouble. Would you shout if all of a sudden you got two kidneys, a restoration of a brain difficulty, stroke, all the blood vessels were healed, no broken blood vessels, the doctor's there, all of a sudden shrank to clarity and nothing was there? Would you shout then? Shout now!
Hallelujah!
Life! 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 Last time I did this, somebody after church came up to me and said, "Why are you yelling at Willie?" I learned that from his wife.
Amen.
The family and their response. Oh my gosh, if you would have been here. How isn't that? Isn't that how it is? Where your family all of a sudden says, "Well, what's going on now?" Everything is like, okay, come on, family. You need to go somewhere else. You need to do something else because it ain't happening for you there. Jesus is your doorway. Jesus is right there. The courage of Jesus is awesome. I don't know too many folks are going to go stand in front of a closed off tomb. Oh, yeah, I do. I know one who stood behind a closed off tomb and moved it all by himself and walked out. Alive forevermore. I know one who simply knew how to do it. Praise God. He walked to that tomb and said, "Remove that stone." He wanted people to be involved. He prayed, said, "God, I'm doing this so you would be glorified, not me, but people would see this." And do you know thousands came to know Jesus through this miracle? You see what's happening in your life. Thousands can come to your ministry if you'll just believe and trust that even though you feel you're in a tomb and you're sealed off, Jesus is going to roll that stone back by the help of people. And he's not going to take a long time. He's not going to preach an hour. He's not going to preach at any time at all. He's just going to call out, "Joanne!" "Come forth." "Willie! Come forth." "Diane, come forth." I don't know what it was like where he was at when he heard the voice, but I'm telling you, he heard a voice. I don't know if a bell went off. I've never been there. But all I know is when he heard the voice, he didn't hesitate. They weren't saying, well, where's he at? Jesus, all of a sudden, out came Lazarus alive. And he had the death clothes on, wrapped up, and everything. And the next thing he knows, he's being unwrapped and having lunch with life. Today, these stories show something that's incredible. Almost the Romans 4:17, if I could say it. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. The word of the Lord is full of the testimonies of what God will do when one believes in his promises, his word, his power to regenerate, create, and restore. What you may not see, he sees. What you may think is over has just begun. What you may be turning from, he is turning you towards. What you may already be making preparations for the worst, he has made a place for the best. Preacher, where'd you get these lines from? The Holy Ghost. About 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, I need a close. He said, type. I'm going to speak to my folks. Not my folks. Jesus, I'm going to speak to my folks. I don't own you. I'm your servant. I'm your pastor. Servant, I don't own you. I don't want to own you. All I want to do is love you and see you be successful in ministry, see your life fulfilled, and see the joy unspeakable radiate and flow from your body and the joy of the success of what Jesus Christ is doing through you. You may be in the cave like Elijah was, but the reason God asked him what he was doing there is because God was down in the valley looking for him. Because he was supposed to be down there anointing kings and calling forth prophets. Man, I hope you catch this. If you don't have a big enough glove, put up two gloves. Catch on to this, because this is a life force for this church today. What you may believe is dead, he has called it to life. He has made it real. He has brought it to life. He has brought you to a point of saying, I believe. I believe.